Yo, yo, yo. Another week, baby. This is number 15. Number 15. Felt like I was doing number 14 just last week, which I wasn't because I'm fucking... I try to stay on schedule. It gets difficult sometimes. I try to do Wednesdays and release Thursdays. For some odd reason, I fucking decided that that's when I was going to do it. But life gets in the way. But right now, I'm fucking... Where did this go? Look at this thing. I'm excited. This isn't an advertisement because I'm not fucking big enough or you know, I don't have enough episodes in to get motherfucking advertisements. But every month, I get this... everyone at this point... Fuck, if you don't have a monthly subscription to something... You're behind, man. You're fucking behind the times. But other than my typical, you know, music, monthly subscriptions and all that shit, I have a subscription to something called Bespoke Post, which if you know the term bespoke, it means like pretty much what, tailored to you or whatever. That's fucking dope. You sign up, you answer a bunch of fucking questions, and then for $45 a month, they send you some shit. And fuck, I wish they were actually paying me to do this. I mean, at least give me a $10 a month discount. But I'm enjoying it. I've had this, but four or five months now, and it's fucking dope. This month, they called it their Cheers Kit. This thing was dope. It came with a beer tasting journal, so you could take all these notes or whatever. Fucking hops, so you could throw in your Bud Light and you see what hops do to beer and how to learn about the flavor. Some pretty dope glasses that look all fancy and shit. They're gonna help me fucking look cool. But what the thing I'm most excited about, I'm fucking holding this thing in my hand right here. It's a bottle opener, but it's not you know, it's a bottle opener. Yeah, whatever. Everyone's had a bottle opener before. But this bottle opener, it has these little rails. You flip it over. It's got these rails that kind of make like a V with a piece of rubber on top of there. And what you do here, apparently, is say you're working on a beer. It's a little strong. Nobody else wants to fucking help you with it. You're soldiering on. And you say, fuck this shit. This is too much. This is not safe. So what you do is you take this bottle opener and you slide the rails on top of the beer bottle there, and the rubber part seals it. So you just fucking slide this little dealie in. It seals your beer. If you got, well, right now I'm working on a Hop Stupid right here. Not the strongest beer, 8%, you know? But hey, say you're working on a motherfucking... Rasputin, I think that's like 9.4 or something. Or some kind of fucking one of them crazy Firestone collabos. Or I don't know, wherever the fuck you might be listening. Your local brewery has a beer that's fucking 12-13% because they're fucking maniacs. And sometimes you don't need 23 ounces, 22 ounces of that shit. So this fucking thing, it lets you slide it in. Again, I haven't used it yet. Well, I mean, I slid it on my beer right now, but just to feel cool to say that I've actually used it. But hopefully it works. It's made in Germany, and like the fucking ChamWow guy says, the Germans always make great stuff. So it's pretty cool, you know. It's got the little German, it's got German writing on it, so it makes it seem all foreign, which makes shit cooler always. But I'm fucking excited because now when I finish this show and I'm done with my beer, whack, slide that fucking bottle opener on top, put it in the fridge, and I got a beer for the morning when I come back to work tomorrow. A good beer in the morning never hurt anybody. Unless you're a truck driver, then please don't do that, because I drive on those roads. So yeah, I was just, that's what's fucking excited in my life right now. As I take a drink of some more of that delicious Hop Stupid. So yeah, I was excited about it, and I have some people to fucking share it with. You know, if you're a beer drinker, I don't know what the fuck you would search for this thing. It's in German and shit. But I'm sure you could Google bottle opener or bottle sealer opener. I don't know. I'm not your mother. You get on the old Google machine and you figure it out on your own. But here, like I said, we were week 15. Where did we leave off last week? Let me pull out. Oh, all right, yeah. Hanuk made his debut. Muma scored a goal. Not many other Quakes did, and I don't know. It's been pretty fucking bad. I'll get into what fucking Kinnear said about the okayness of this team, but get the fuck out of here, man. Get the fuck out of here. This team's been back since 2008. It has its own stadium, you know, and like I've said in previous shows, the money doesn't come instantly. You know, you don't just sign a fucking deal with Roku or whoever the fuck, Lyft, whoever these people, you know, whoever the Quakes are signing deals with. It's not like they just fucking cut you a check right there. You deposit it in your bank account and you go out and get yourself a fucking Messi or some shit, you know? It takes a while. And the way the way MLS is going right now, you know, they want to build the academy. They want to build that whole youth system and all that. And then they're making some efforts towards it. Again, different teams are working at it differently. So, yeah. So even if you do get $1 million check on a fucking Wednesday, you got to spread that money out, man. You got to spread that money out. You're not just going to drop $1 million on somebody to kind of help the team. Now, you know, you're going to spread some down to the academies. You're going to spread some down to the coaches. The front office, you know, has got to get, you know, there's a lot. I think there's almost 70, 80 people working for the Quakes now. That shit ain't cheap, man. In San Jose, this is San Jose. In San Jose, you have 80 people in Columbus. Okay, maybe you could afford fucking certain deals. You got 80 people in fucking San Jose. These people are paying $2,000 a month for a fucking one bedroom. If they're lucky, you know, people are probably living down in Gilroy, Morgan Hill or something. Santa Cruz over the hill, trying to save some bucks. Actually, that ain't going to fucking save you any goddamn money. But anyway, it's just a little bit more expensive in the Bay Area, especially with how the economy is, how all this whole fucking tech thing. If you're not from around here, holy shit. Driving around 6 years ago in the Bay Area was a breeze compared to right now. Yo, recessions are bad, I guess, for the fucking state economy, but man, they're good for traffic. I'll tell you that much. When people aren't working, they're not driving because gas is fucking expensive in this fucking state. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while, and this team doesn't move as fast as some people want. And this year, the frustration has been building and building and building and building. And this team is really, you know, the first half of the season, it was going sideways. You know, which again, with the whole money situation, whatever I just talked about, I guess we could have dealt with sideways for another year. You know, at least it wasn't going down. But then around the break for the Centenario and the Olympics, I guess fucking throw the Olympics in there too. But anyway, something happened after that break. It's I'm telling you, these motherfuckers look up to the Giants. The Giants had a great first half of the season. And then the second half, goose eggs all around. But somehow they're fucking magically within a couple games. Or I think they went down to a game. But yeah, look down at the Quakes, 50 miles down south. It's the same shit. First half of the season, again, wasn't spectacular, but it was sideways. And the way things have been going for the last 3 or 4 years in San Jose, a lot of the fans will take sideways lateral movement. But damn, this last run, again, since May 11th, I think May 11th is not only an important date because it's my birthday, and shout out to myself because, well, I'm here sitting in my fucking office by myself. Clean it, actually. Anyone that's been listening, we've been moving the last month. I did one episode at the new place, but it looks like this is it. We're in the fucking home stretch. Everything, I pulled wires out of walls. I moved desks out of places. This place is empty. I'm hearing sounds that I haven't heard in five fucking years, and I'm not going to lie. Pretty fucking scary. Pretty fucking scary. But yeah, but we move on. Oh, that hop stupid. That hop stupid is fucking delicious. So anyway, since May 11th, which was the high point in goal scoring for the Quakes, they have not put three goals into the net all season. They've allowed that. They've allowed three goals. But the Quakes have only put three goals in the back of the net once. And that was on May 11th against Houston, which, I mean, if you see how Houston was playing this year, that is just damn well expected. But since then, no bueno times for the Earthquakes. Since May 11th, the Quakes have a 3-5-8 record. Again, that's win-loss ties. Three wins, five losses, eight ties. What does that give you? That's 8 points on the ties, 9 points on the wins. You got 17 points since May 11th, which is, as a lot of fans have been saying, it's completely unacceptable. It's completely unacceptable, and we've kind of gotten used to inaction from our front office. On this show, I say it's because there's no pressure. I mean, hell, if you're doing a mediocre job at work and nobody's calling you out on it, why change? Why fucking change? Unless you have this drive to make yourself better every week, every day that you come into work, why change? The checks are coming in. Hell, the way the Quakes are going, the checks are getting bigger. Why change? You know, so that's what I've been thinking that was happening, you know. But finally, the Quakes made a move. And they didn't make no move. They didn't fucking go out and find some. Well, I mean, damn, I don't want to go after the players, but again, the splashy moves with the players we've been waiting for years, and it hasn't happened, but that's okay. Because it seems like a new page is turning. By now, all of you know. If you don't, welcome to the week, this weekend Quakes, baby. It's actually called Football Without Hesitation. Tell your friends about it. I do this every week. But John Doyle is gone, son. Axed. John Doyle, the general manager of the San Jose Earthquakes. This guy, again, it's tough because he's been around forever. Like, not only player, commentator, coach, whatever. Pretty sure this dude watered the grass and fucking cleaned up Buckshaw after the games were over at one point, you know? He's been around, and he's kind of a fixture. Very good friend of Dom Kinnear. And they finally gave him the old walking papers. The 86th up, son. They said, Ocho Seis, out of here. Go back to Danville and figure out your next step. And honestly, as a supporter, as somebody that talks shit into a microphone about the Earthquakes, it was honestly about fucking time. It was time. The stadium, they're going to say 18,000 for the next three fucking years just because they can afford that. You know, people are going to buy them tickets. That doesn't mean they're going to fucking show up, you know? So, but definitely, so the attendance is always 18,000, whatever, when there's a home game. But I'm there at every fucking game, man. I'm there. And the seats are getting emptier. The stadium's getting quieter. That magic, the magic that happened against Toronto is not there anymore. And it just seemed like it was getting worse than ever. I've never seen the Quakes give up on the pitch. I've never seen them not put an effort. I've never seen them not searching for that goal that would put them, you know, give them the 3 points. But these last 2 weeks, actually last 3 weeks, take that shit back to the Houston game. It really looked like, to me, well, I mean, it's Kinnear. Kinnear's the fucking coach. You know, I mean, Doyle's the general manager. I know he's higher up. But to me, Kinnear has lost the locker room. When you have a guy like Chris Wondolowski, who's a good fucking leader, I mean, that's the one thing. Fuck. I mean, you need to see this guy play. It doesn't show up on the TV, but when you see Wando and he's on the pitch, he's the leader. He's definitely the leader. He's barking out orders. He's getting in people's faces. He's the one that will get into the ref's face. If you got slighted, Wando will take the fucking yellow card for dissent for you. And that's his job. And people follow. When he gets fiery, when he gets mad, motherfucker, you see the fucking vein. The fucking dude's got a vein when he gets mad. You see his fucking neck vein pop out. The fucking players react. The players react. And honestly, the last 3 weeks, they haven't. It looked very pedestrian, very bird doggy, you know, let's just go through the motions. Let's just, we understand the game plan that Kinnear's putting out there. Let's just make sure it happens and let's not get hurt. You know, and it wasn't working. Dave Cavall came out and called the style of play boring, which I completely agree with. There's been nothing. You signed Hanuk, who his first game. Hanuk wants to score. Hanuk wants to score goals. I mean, I haven't heard anything, you know, anybody blaming him, and I really hope they don't, because I've watched him. I've watched him these last couple of games, and he wants to be there. He wants to score. He wants to contribute. Within 2 fucking minutes of coming on his first game, he was within yards of putting his head on the ball, towards the goal. And so I don't know. You don't have a fucking world beater. You don't have a world class team, but you definitely have a fucking playoff caliber MLS squad. You have the players to get you within the fucking top six of the Western Conference. It's undoubtable. It's undoubtable. Especially the way Seattle had been playing. Lodeiro, shit. What a fucking signing. What a signing. And then again, there's proof positive there that you can make the correct signing. Don't have to be this big splashy player. You don't have to bring in fucking Carlos Vela or Kaká or Giovinco or fucking Henri or whoever the hell, Dos Santos, Gerard. You could, at this point, you could go on. You could make that list bigger. MLS doesn't work that way. Look at New York City. Look at New York City. And I know they fucking figured it out this year, but that's the Eastern Conference. It doesn't work. You can't just MLS. It's its own shit. It's our own fucking deal. We play in the American style. The world might not know it is. Shit, we might not know what it is quite yet. But this league is its own entity. You can't just fill a roster with superstars and world-class players and win an MLS Cup. It just doesn't work that way. And it's something I'm kind of proud of in the league. I don't know. Maybe it works that way because we don't fucking... We do the sport in a different way. In a way that really doesn't mesh with the way it's been played for the last 100 or so years. But, hey, it's our shit. We're Americans. That's what we fucking do. We take shit. We make it our own. And then everybody fucking loves it. They bitch and bitch and bitch, and 10 years later, everybody fucking loves what we're doing. So again, I believe that the players on this squad have the ability and the potential to go into the playoffs and go deep into the playoffs. And it just wasn't fucking working out. We all know, everyone knows, Kinnear's tactic, you put two defending midfielders in the middle. They put the ball out to the wingers. The wingers fucking chuck the ball into the middle, and you hope for magic from Wando. And that can work. That can work at some point. I know he wasn't around in 2012, but it was the same fucking style. But it just the MLS is just moving too fucking fast. MLS changes every fucking year. Look at Dallas. Who the fuck thought that a team that invested in their academy could be at the top of the fucking table with the lowest fucking payroll? You know, MLS, there's parity. You can bust out your fucking stats and fucking notes all you fucking want, but in MLS, when one team plays the other from either fucking conference, both teams have an equal chance of winning, especially if the underdog or the team with the worst record is at home. It is hard to win on the road in MLS, and I've looked at the numbers for other leagues and other sports as well, and really it's not that spectacular. I mean, every home field advantage is a fucking real phenomenon. You just, I don't know. It's shit. Go win. I don't know if you travel, but when you go stay at a hotel, do you sleep as good as you do at home? Fuck no. When you're at home, you know every little crevice, every little crack, every nook of your fucking mattress. You know where the sun shines when you get up. You know everything about it. So you feel that much more comfortable. You go into a hotel room, you go into the fanciest fucking hotel room you can find. They got some good mattresses. You know, they can have some good mattresses. They got all that soundproof. You can't hear no traffic. You can't hear your neighbors. You can't hear anything. You got your TV. You can put it wherever channel you want. You got a fucking fridge with a mini bar right at your fucking, you know, an arm's length away. You could be eating your fucking steak and eggs on your fucking bed. But it's just not the same. It's not the fucking same unless you're at home. You know, and so that makes sense. But to cut this fucking rant off, because I could keep it going, this team just wasn't living up to the expectations. It was not. And yeah, people were calling for fucking fire. And, oh, fucking Cavall thinks this is a minor league team. Doyle and Kinnear are fucking friends. This team's never going to go anywhere. But they made a move. They made a move, and they got rid of John Doyle. He's done. There's 8 games left in the season, and this is where I think it's a little bit of politics going on. The press release specifically stated. Do I have it here? This is the one where he thought we're doing okay. But anyway, the press release that was sent out by the Quakes specifically said that the coaching staff, hey, they're staying. Their roles are not changing. Their roles are staying the same. What that tells me through the lines is they're done. They're fucking toast. This coaching staff is. Their time is coming. And again, there's 8 games left in the season, which gives the Earthquakes plenty of extra time to find a GM. And I mean, I don't know. Why, as a potential GM candidate, why wouldn't you pick San Jose? They got a new stadium. They're in the Bay Area. It's the fucking, third or fourth biggest TV market in the country. You got fucking 8 million people from Gilroy down up till fucking Danville. What up, Danville? Again, twice in an episode. But yeah, I mean, you got all that. And then they got that team in Reno out there, which kind of fucking squeezes in the Republic and makes them fucking, makes them put pressure, you know? Because then, you know, you've enveloped, now you got Stockton and fucking Reading. I mean, they're small, but fuck, they're there. And that just gets your name out there more. So, to me, you know, San Jose is a... It's a good place to be. Again, GM, you can afford. You can live downtown. You know, you can find a house. You can live out there in fucking Seven Trees or Silver Creek or fucking Cupertino, wherever the hell. You know, you'll get paid decently. But to me, Kinnear's time is coming. Why replace the coach first and then get rid of the GM? That's backwards. You get rid of the GM, you know, who does all the signings and has a lot more control over the team. You get rid of him. You find a guy and you tell him, hey, look, this is your squad. You're not Pep Guardiola, but you have as much sway here, you know? So then that new GM can say, hey, this is the type of football I want to play. This player's not working out. This coach isn't working out. This is what I want. This is my vision. And honestly, it insulates the front office. It insulates Caval and company. They can say, hey, it's the general manager. We gave him the responsibility. We want him to take us to the MLS Cup. We want him to get us more supporter shields. We want him to take us to the U.S. Open Cup finals. We want him to take us to the CONCACAF championship. And all I did was hire him. He was the best candidate that I felt was available. So it kind of insulates, you know, the higher-ups, anybody over the general manager, come Morgan, the president and the owner and all that. But it also allows the new general manager to kind of clean house. And if they get the right guy, he can move out. You know, he can say, this is what I want, what we're going to do. And but it also, this is what I find interesting, because at the moment, it's like, it's almost... It's all on Kinnear's back. And I was like, hey, Dom. We got rid of the general manager, whether he was your friend or whatever. You have, you know, an actual striker, a goal scorer other than Wando. So, you know, it takes the pressure off Wando. Might take a little pressure off Quincy, whatever it might be. But, and there's that long layoff. The Quakes could lose fucking 5-0 against Pachuca on Saturday. I'll fucking bitch and complain. The internet will bitch and complain all they want. But ultimately, it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't not matter with anything. But what it does, it allows Dom Kinnear to figure out what he's going to do on September 10th when the Quakes come back into MLS action against Seattle. Against fucking Seattle. Let me pull up these standings. I think Seattle is still... only a point behind him. And I mentioned Lodeiro, how fuck he, God, what a fucking signing, you fucking sons of bitches. That was a good signing. So yeah. So anyway, okay. So Seattle Sounders are 1 point behind the San Jose Earthquakes at 31 compared to the Quakes 32. Their goal differential is -4, right behind the Quakes -3. And both of those teams are chasing Portland. Seattle plays Portland this weekend, which is going to be fucking huge for the Quakes. If Portland wins that game, they're tied in fifth place with fucking Sporting. And Seattle, San Jose is looking, they're looking up. They're looking at two wins up. You know, they'll be 6 points behind. But that gives the Quakes the opportunity to be the sole seventh place team, the one that is controlling that you know, gives them the opportunity to still be within striking distance of Portland. And so that September 10th game is going to be fucking crucial. And at this point, Dom has nothing to fucking lose.
If he doesn't see the fucking door closing on his San Jose Earthquakes career, then he's a lot blinder than I actually fucking realize. He knows what it is. We all know what it is. Come on, how many times have we been listening to whatever my KNBR or ESPN radio? I don't know where, fucking the internet, wherever you get your sports news. What the fuck happens when the president or the owner of a team comes out and says, hey, we fully support this coach. We believe he can take us to the future. That usually means this fucker's on his way out. He's about to get canned. You know? So if Dom can't see that, then I don't know. So he really has nothing to lose. If he can throw up a lineup on September 10th against Seattle at home, mind you, this is a fucking home game. And again, I just mentioned how hard it is to win on the road in MLS. If the Quakes can muster something that excites the people, then, you know, again, the playoff hopes are still there. Dom might still save his career here. And again, I'm not hating. I fucking love the guy. Fucking love the guy. We all know his history. I mean, he left and came back and all that, and the Houston and Wando. I mean, again, this is the dude that sent Wando back to San Jose, in case y'all don't fucking remember. So now, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that has anything to do with Wando's form of late, but remember, this is the guy that sent Wando back. You know, he couldn't find a home for him in Houston. But I don't know. It's a chance for again. It definitely feels like a new day is dawning in fucking San Jose. And to me, what really shows that Dom is on the hot seat is Kinnear. Fucking Cavall came out and said the style of soccer that we're playing right now is fucking boring. The style of play is boring. Which seemed to come a shock to fucking Dom. Which again, he's trying to save face, but that was a poor choice of words. What did he say? Look, I had to write down the fucking quote. I took time. I didn't even print this shit. I wrote it down with my hands and pen. But so when again this Dom Kinnear talking about. This is his response to Dave Cavall calling the Quake style of play boring. He says, I look at it and yeah, we're at the low end of scoring goals. By low end, he really means they're at the bottom of the fucking league. They're the lowest scoring team in the league. So he says, I look at it and yeah, we're at the low end of scoring goals. I think the last two games we didn't play particularly well. So, and that's referring to Columbus and New England. So, I think the last two games we didn't play particularly well. I think before that, we've been consistently okay. Okay. I gotta say this shit again. I think before that, we've been consistently okay. Couple things there. First of all, you're fine with just okay. Mediocrity is good enough for you. Let's just do average. Let's have as many teams as good as us, as many teams as bad, which when you think about it, it's not that crazy. I guess that would put you in fifth place. That would give you a playoff spot. But then you have to define what okay is. If you think okay, before that, we've been consistently okay. So, again, since May 11th, their highest scoring game, they've won 3, lost 5, tied 8. That's okay? 14 goals for and 16 conceded? That's okay? I don't know. Maybe it is in Kinnear world. In Kinnear world, maybe that's okay. And maybe just being okay is all right because you can fucking pull a rabbit's foot out of your ass in the playoffs, and then you might end up with a fucking championship. But it's not. It's fucking not okay. And I thought it was funny that he called out the internet. Oh, just because there's a couple people mad on the internet, the front office folded to that. Are you
fucking kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me? Just cause, you know, I don't mean to call you. Just cause somebody on Twitter or on the subreddit or on the big soccer forums complained? You think that's what fucking pushed Cavall to fucking make this move? Are you fucking serious? Like, how little respect do you have for your president, for your boss, that you think that some fucking internet comment is gonna make him actually think about this? It costs $200 million to get a team into MLS now. Well, actually, that's just the fee to get the franchise. That doesn't include the stadium, the fucking front office, the players, everything else that's involved. You're talking about a several $100 million investment. And Kinnear is saying that some fucking people on the internet influenced this decision. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure the front office saw the complaints and they knew people weren't happy. But they didn't take somebody's fucking comment. They didn't take fucking at Baldini 10 and some fucking angry tweet and say, hey, look at this guy. Dude's got fucking 60 followers. We should fucking listen to him. I don't fucking think they did that. You know, and for the coach to insinuate that and to say that publicly, he's given up. I'm sorry. He's fucking given up. And you know what, Dom? It is a boring style of play. It's a very fucking basic style. It 4-4-2. Fucking 4-4-2. The first formation I played when I started playing FIFA. Because you don't know what it's balanced. I get it, it's balanced. You don't concede too many goals, and you might get fucking lucky and one of your players is in the perfect spot and finds that corner. And then you have Wando, who's one of the best at doing that. But it's boring. It was fucking boring. And see, this is where I don't know how much of a fucking leash they give Kinnear, but I don't know. I hope some of y'all don't hate me for this shit all of a sudden. But when it comes to international soccer, I'm a City fan. I'm a City fan. I've been a City fan since 09, since before we got that fucking oil money. Team was fucking pretty bad. All I knew is that when I was playing FIFA, there was another team in Manchester that was not Manchester United. And I knew about Manchester United, even though I didn't give a shit about that team or English soccer. So that fucking pissed me off. So when I found there was a second team in Manchester, that was my fucking team. That was my fucking team. And then I did a research. Oh, and they fucking sucked. And they fucking sucked. But I'm not one to fucking change. I like the baby blue. I like the baby blue. I'm not going to lie. I like the baby blue. It's fucking cool. And then what was it, 2011, 2012, we got Sheik Mansour came in and just started dropping fucking loads. He just started dropping cash, son. So, hey, it's good times for City fans, you know. But this season, again, anyone that, I don't know, people that follow soccer don't just follow one team or one league. But this year, fucking City had got Pep Guardiola fucking from Barca. From everyone, you all know this fucking dude. So, City, that we're going for Pep. We got Pep. Pep's first year in City. It's 3 weeks into the season. What did he do? He loaned out $100 million worth of fucking players. What? I love that. I love that. That's full confidence in not only his abilities, but in the players that he's keeping. He understands. He's like, dude, what the fuck? I have a glut of talent. Why? Again, yeah, Sheik Mansour is signing them checks. We're signing everybody. We're paying fucking UEFA for all these fucking fees for being too rich. Whatever.
Pep's like, that's cool, but I'm going to win. I'm here. First of all, I want a Champions League win. We got that. No one will ever forget fucking Kun's goal. What a fucking goal. I watch that replay every month. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe that happened. But yeah. But Pep says that this squad has won championships before. And we're winning the European Championship, and I'm shedding $100 million plus worth of talent. And we're still going to fucking win. That's fucking confidence. Not only in your own coaching ability, but in your players. I haven't seen that shit from Dom at all. Dom Kinnear has not done any of that shit. Fuck. I know people love Tommy Thompson. I'm not the biggest fan. He's a little guy. His finishing power is kind of weak. He does some really cute tricks at halftime that people love. I just don't see it on the pitch, but you play 200 fucking minutes a season, that's just not going to come out. But anyway, yeah, it was crazy. It was massive. It was big. I it feels like something's happening. Us as fans have to keep pushing again. Not that we made any fucking difference. Let's get real. Our fucking Reddit and tweets and Facebook comments did not have an effect on this fucking decision. And if it did, oh man, I feel even worse for this team. But you can see they didn't just drop the axe. They didn't just fucking clear house. They're giving, I don't know why. Honestly, I don't know why. I guess because of his history. Because Dom is a proven winner in certain spots. But they're pretty much, all the weight is on his shoulders. It is up to Dom Kinnear right now to carry this team. On the pitch, it's up to the players. But as a leader off the pitch, in training, it's on Dom. And if this team doesn't react, guess what? He's lost the fucking locker room. And you're not going to get it back. I don't care how good of a coach you are. I don't care how much of a friend you are with the front office. If you lose the locker room, you lose your title. And we'll see. Again, I don't know. I could keep bitching forever. I've been bitching for fucking 40 minutes. All we can do is wait for September 10th. We'll see what happens there. The same boring 4-4-2 comes out and they tie or lose at home. Well, guess what, Dom? You get your fucking walking papers as well. But anyway, I want to finish this with some little positivo. Something happy. Because I'm happy. Anyway, actually, who did this? Let me go. Shout out to the Reddit user that posted this. And I mean, there's only like six people that really, really post hard to the Reddit website or to the subreddit. If you're familiar, you're probably not. Traxxamillion is a hip hop producer in San Jose. Oh, Hella San Jose or Hella _SJ on Reddit. Shout out to you for posting this up. But yeah, Traxxamillion is a hip hop producer from the Bay Area. All those big hyphy songs, the more popular ones, you probably know him from. If you graduated high school in 2005, like I did, you definitely know who he is. But Traxxamillion is very well respected in the Bay Area hip-hop community, and actually since then in the overall hip-hop community as well. But anyway, he came out with a song called Days In, named after the motel. You got that right. Days In, not the Holiday Inn, but the Days In. And anyway, it him being from San Jose, listening to the song, I don't know, it's about doing cool shit at a Days In, you know, drinking Hennessy, smoking weed,
bringing little girls over or something. But the coolest shit, most a big part of the video, you could go check out the music video again. It's Tracks a Million. The song calls Days In, D-A-Y-S, In. And a huge part of the video, they're recording at Avaya. They're at Avaya, right there, right where the bar is. So you can see the pitch in the background, the whole stadium, the whole big fucking shit. They're at Avaya. They're wearing Quakes gear. One of the dudes is wearing the old school long sleeve with the old patch. Tracks a Million is wearing the new jersey with the chevrons and shit. And they're just, it's a dope song. First of all, I was digging the song. But I thought it was sick. To me, that is big. That's getting into the culture of the Bay Area. I mean, come on. Warriors, 49ers, Raiders, A's, Giants. They get into the playoffs. Every fucking hip-hop, country, bluegrass, whatever artist from the Bay Area is going to make a fucking song. But for the Quakes to get this kind of attention with the type of year that they're having is awesome. Again, I loved it. It's cool. I'm like, dude, I've stood there. I've been at that stadium. I've been where you're recording. And again, this is a well-respected producer, and it just gets that logo out there. It gets that logo, that black and blue. It's out there. More people are seeing it. Again, it's out to Reno now with the affiliation out there, and it's, I don't know. I just thought it was fucking cool. I could not get enough of it. I thought it was fucking awesome, and I'm telling you, it's gonna get more people going there. I don't know. People, fucking casuals and this and that. I don't give a fuck. If you paid for your ticket, that money's going to the team. And if you're there, you're enjoying that atmosphere. Because you get to Avaya, I don't care if you don't like soccer. I'm sorry. We're fucking bringing you in. You don't have to like this sport. You could think it's boring. But once you're at Avaya, once you're at the bar, once you get a beer from the Beer of the Worlds and you're at the standing section, once you're at a seat, once you're at a suite, I'll say it and I'll say it again. I am a fucking homer for this team. This is my fucking team. I love them, but it's Avaya is awesome. That's all there is to it. From the bacon wrap hot dog guys outside that sell the $5 Modelos to the Beer of the Worlds, again, where you get your Hop Stupid, fucking Sculpin, a little something, a Sapporo if you want to get some mainstream Japanese beer. I don't know. And they'll sell you 22 ounces. You get a full fucking bomber. You know, this ain't, I don't know. It's a great place to be. I drive an hour 20 times a year. Well, actually, fuck it, 2 hours because I got to drive back. So 20 times a year, I drive 2 hours a day because I want to. Because I want to see this. The stadium plus the team, it really makes for a great environment. But when the team is not meeting, because ultimately, like I've said before, I don't give a fuck if you play in the parking lot of the fucking fairgrounds. I don't care if you play at fucking Cesar Chavez Park. I don't fucking care. I want wins. I want hardware. Avaya is that fucking icing on the cake. But if the team isn't fucking up to standards, it's not fair and it's not right. But anyway, I'm not going to rant anymore. But I apologize for making this. This is the longest episode I've done, but it was major news. You know, John Doyle being out, he was a fixture. And then I'm not disparaging the name or the man. He did wonders for this team. He's been everywhere.
but we really needed a change. We really, really needed something different. And as concerning as this is to me to say, I trust Cavall and company to find the right candidate to be the general manager. And I honestly believe when that general manager comes in, he's going to find the coach that sparks this club. It does not take a lot. You are in a huge market. You are in Northern California or California in general, which produces amazing football talent in this country. And it's there. It's there. It's like somebody selling you a fucking house without a door. All you got to do is put the fucking door in and you get the house. So, I don't know. I believe in this team and I believe in this front office. And I hope those words don't come to bite me back in the ass soon. But I'll be back next week and hopefully my ass is intact. And we'll see you guys. And please, please let people know about this team. Let people know about this league. And if you could, let people know about this podcast. I'm not the traditional, tactics and players and all this. I like to have fun. You know, I like to have fun, but I also care about this team. It's not about just going to a stadium and fucking having some beers. I want results. And I know every single person listening to this also wants those same results. So, hey, keep bitching online. Maybe Kinnear was right. Maybe we did fucking make a difference. Keep talking about it. Keep calling the team. Keep calling your ticket representative. If you don't have tickets, put a deposit down. Be a part of this. This is a movement. Football is for the people. And this is our game. It's our game. It's our sport. It's our team. It's our city. Let's get involved. I'll catch y'all next week. See y'all later.